And Happy New Year to those of you who are living in the Mountain Time Zone. Enjoy 2021, my friends. We're going to be back with more with John Hogue. We're going to talk about the Antichrist, and we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. He's also doing some Zoom readings these days. We'll have him talk about that, too. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, with John Hogue. John was going to be one of our very special featured guests at our Everett, Washington event last year, but of course, that got canceled because of the pandemic situation, and we're hoping that this year, 2021, it'll pop again, and John will be there with us. But John, you're using new technology yourself now, aren't you? Zoom?
Yes, I am. I'm using Zoom after a long hiatus of not doing private readings and just reading the world for about 26 years. Back in 2018, I got kind of the sign to come back into doing readings. So I do them on Zoom.
It's great technology.
It is. It's it's definitely better than the other sacred cow of that, which I will not mention.
Does it start with an S?
It's not as glitchy. It's simple. Any idiot like me can even use it. And I mean, it's been great. I read people from all over the world. I give these 90-minute readings where I take all this energy that I put into the reading of the world and lovingly give it to the person. And all you have to do is go to HogueProphecy.com. And you'll see right under a younger version of me staring out from my website from the 1990s, 25 years ago, not so Gandalfian as I am now.
How fast time goes by.
Is you can see in red Hogue Readings, and just click on that Hogue Bulletin at HogueProphecy.com, put reading, Hogue Reading, and I'll get directly back to you and we'll set it up.
John, before we go to calls and they're lining up here for you, let's talk a little bit about the Antichrist. Nostradamus has always kind of hinted about a final third Antichrist. He called it Mabus or Mabus.
Mabus, yeah.
And it's supposed to emerge this year, right?
Well, I am definitely, after being on the trail of candidates for this all the way back in 1983 is when I started. And all the candidates that I looked at, I'm currently updating my book, Nostradamus and the Antichrist, which will be out earlier this year with my kind of final testament about this, because I think after all this looking around, I think I found the most significant candidate. And he has something that all the other candidates, Bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, Baghdadi, all these people, this definitely pointing to a Middle Eastern source because of the clues that Nostradamus gives. And I go through the whole fascinating story of how Nostradamus uses word codes. It's very Da Vinci code, only it's the real deal with Nostradamus of how he hides names. And it has very specific steps that any candidate have to fulfill. And up till now, none of them fulfilled the thing that the earlier candidate, Paul Ney Laurent, which is an anagram for Napoleon Noir, Napoleon King,
mm-hmm.
and the other, Hister.
Hitler. That's
Hitler.
Right.
But Mabus, on none of the candidates until now, has been a significant world leader. And the world leader who has emerged, also he's supposed to be young, a dark man, dark-bearded man of evil doing. When he comes to power, he's young. And it would seem that this person is the current crown prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman. Now, in the anagrams, Mohammed and bin Salman also can decode using the law of anagrams to Mabus. And we all in the press call that long-named man MBS. And it's a common practice of Nostradamus, but which we did on the show in Everett when we looked at the fire call being actually hidden with the vowels.
Right.
In the shuttle disaster Challenger in 1986. There are two vowels missing in MBS, the A and the U, that makes it Mabus, M-A-B-U-S. So the world calls him by that. Nostradamus could hear the future as well as smell it and see it in his prophecy. So it's an important thing that some certain quirk, just like at the turn of the century, everybody was trying to scratch in the Nostradamian heads. this riddle of Nostradamus talking about a man named Dubia, that the people of the capital, spelled like the U.S. capital, would not want in office, and he would not be able to achieve his ends. Well, Nostradamus likes to use nicknames. And who in 2000 emerged into our lives to become president of the United States who had a nickname, Dubia?
Yep, George Bush.
George Bush. And once you bring that into it, it fits. It's like the key that opens up the cryptex of Nostradamus' anagram. And so Mabus, as Mohammed bin Salman, is in this pivotal role. He is very much behind trying to start a war with Iran, a war that, given Iran's military power, if he's stupid enough to do that, would actually cause his probably early death in the battle. The other thing, too, is that Saudi Arabia has created what many people in the Islamic world calls a blasphemous sect of Islam, because it does not value all five virtues of Islam in holy war and jihad. These people of the Wahhabist religious group believe that everybody, men, women, and children, are fair game. And this is what Osama bin Laden, one of the candidates, believed. And al-Baghdadi, the pirate caliph of ISIS, believed. And you know, the head of this world power is a key oil giant, is also overseeing this many people in the Islamic world feel is a heretical version of the Quran. The Wahhabist look is very extreme, fundamentalist, and that has been spread over the last two generations with the wealth of Saudi Arabia to madrasas, religious schools, all across the community of believers. And so two generations now have been indoctrinated in this violent idea of Islam that and unfortunately has killed many more people of the faith than it has anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, will the Antichrist know they're the Antichrist?
No, one of the patterns common to it is that Napoleon never knew he was the first Antichrist. Hitler never knew he was the second. And it's not a message for them. It's a message for us to know who they are. I mean, Nostradamus was obscure for effect. You know, if he was more clear sometimes, every once in a while when you think he's just all foggy and it's open to any interpretation, you stumble upon, in his 1,500 prophecies, a few hundred that are just jaw-dropping, amazing. And, by the way, in a new book on the coronavirus, because he was a plague doctor, assumed to release early this year, I'm even shocked, and I'm not one to grab anything and say, oh, there's trumpet in Nostradamus. It must mean Trump. No, it doesn't. And so I'm far more hard to convince, but I found things that are breathtakingly describing the coronavirus, how it hit Italy, where, that it's a shell, scab, husky-looking thing, just like that symbol that we've all seen for a year in our faces on media. And he saw that, so I contend. And so the thing is, we are in a period where the trigger, it's getting clearer and clearer as the event potentially, and I stress potentially, comes up, that the war of the third Antichrist is supposed to happen at a time when the world is unraveling, the world of people unraveling, its economy, its governments, its moralities, and the world of animals are unraveling, the ecology of the world. That sounds like today. What we can argue about what's causing it, but it's definitely something. This is when he'd emerge. So this is now. He became powerful at 34 when his father became king of Saudi Arabia, but he's really the power behind the throne because his father is very ill. So here, young dark man of evil doing. All the pieces of the puzzle kind of connect to him. The fact that he has so much command and control of the oil industry of the world, and the, in fact, he has a lot of control of the media. The Saudi shares of the government of the prince are like $500 million worth of shares spread around all the major networks of the United States. It's the reason why none of you in America hardly hear anything about the biggest and worst war that's been raging since 2015, that the United States has been fueling and giving Saudi Arabians weapons, jets to bomb, and literally one-third of all their strikes are literally to kill the people of northern Yemen. It's a genocidal war of the third Antichrist, and our media is not telling you that we're involved in it.
In a big way.
Big way since 2015. We have special forces on the ground helping to target it. Every day, our fueling Air Force jets fuel Saudi Air Force and UAE Air Forces to bomb schools, weddings, and the other thing, too, is denying medical help. The largest plague of cholera in human history has been going on in Yemen, and you'd never know it. 400,000 people threatened. Every family has been threatened. There's 20 million people on the verge of starvation. I've been hearing that for years. I'm not hearing it much anymore, which makes me wonder if they are still alive. And it's a war of genocide, and it's an absolute crime against humanity. And this voice you're hearing right now is one of the few voices, thanks to you, George, to tell the people, inform them that your funds, your military, is involved in this.
Let's go to the phones now. Mike in Denver, Colorado. You're on with John Hogue, Michael.
Hey, good morning, George. Happy New Year. Thank you so much for
Happy New Year to you too, Mike.
Yeah, Mr. Hogue, first of all, I just wanted to say thank you so much for the work you do. It really means a lot to, you know, my generation, which is millennials. So I just wanted to say thank you so much. I had a comment and a question for you tonight. So you wrote a really amazing book on the fire of the Notre Dame Cathedral and Nostradamus' predictions about that incident. And obviously when this event happened, it was an event that really captivated the world. And there was some speculation as to if this really was a set-in-stone prediction from Nostradamus. So my question is, when you're studying the quatrains, John, how do you come to the conclusions that this was the prediction Nostradamus was, in fact, trying to make?
Thanks, Mike, because thanks for mentioning that book, because that book was also a time to educate people who, I mean, now everybody's a Nostradamus expert online, so I kind of took apart some woman astrologer in England who really got a lot of hits, but she was making statements and things that said clearly a few things. She didn't know how to read 16th century French. She had no background to how Nostradamus' mind filtered the future by deeply studying the Renaissance and the times he lived in. And so I took that compassionately, hitting her work, because I just want to. So what I did is I said, look, this is detective work. If you know the French, then the thing to do is look into Nostradamus' writings and look for every reference to dame, which is dame, madam, in the 16th century French, because he'll use it, because you'd know if you studied 16th century France that people used to say colloquially when they were going to the cathedral, say, I'm going down to the lady today to pray. And so dame is Notre Dame, Our Lady of Paris. Notre Dame de Paris is Our Lady of Paris. And the fact that Nostradamus prayed there when he traveled to meet the king and queen in 1555, it had an emotional connection, which means he might see things about it. So what I did with the readers in that book is I took them through every mention of the word dame. Some of them are about actually dames, queens, and a few of them are literally talking about Notre Dame de Paris, and also the way he described it. And again, it's just like the other book I was just recently talking about the COVID-19 plague. Is I am not somebody to quickly jump upon something that sounds right. I take it through a crucial study, a true skeptical inquiry, not a cynical James Randian inquiry into things where you've already got your opinion set up, and you, of course, are always going to be right if you've already got a negative or positive opinion about Nostradamus. So I don't do that. So I looked into that, and I saw remarkable stuff that I talked about on Coast to Coast a few years back that described exactly the fire and also implied that a suppressed scandal was behind it, which over time will be known.
Well done. Next up, let's go to Mayat in the city of New York. Hi, Mayat. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm in the Big Apple. Happy New Year to the world.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John, I agree with you about the neo-fascism, but I don't think from your analysis of the election that you understand how it's centered. And I suggest Professor Jason Stanley's book, The Politics of Fascism, I mean, How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us and Them. First of all, I heard Trevor call in and say he was concerned about the anomalies of the sudden votes for Biden. Well, first of all, you notice that the Republicans, and they're not going to be able to change it. Luckily, he got both the electoral and the popular, unlike 2016. But basically, you notice on the same ballot, they gained 12 seats, maybe as low as no information voters for gridlock in the House, and held their seats and did well in the Senate. So they don't want to throw out that. They only want to throw out the presidential. Now, what happened is what was called the red mirage. So in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, those voters,
hold on for a sec, John.
The state legislators, Republican legislators, made it so that they couldn't count the votes until after the election. So it seemed like Trump was winning, and then you had the people of Detroit and Milwaukee. And you have to be careful because we're basically being pushed out, black people. So they're saying, well, we really don't want to count those votes because they're blacks and people of color. But yes, they have a version of Trump as the Antichrist.
Okay. A minute to go, John, before the break.
Okay. There's a lot of anomalies about this. Look, I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Biden supporter. My work requires that I'm neither and look at the whole thing.
You're pretty nonpartisan.
I am nonpartisan. I am not a right or left wing. I'm a free wing, a watcher who watches through meditation what is going on. What I just heard was tribal, I contend. And I'll get the same stuff from Sean Hannity, who I've debated and flustered a few times. And I will get the same stuff from CNN, which I used to work there as a professional guest. And what I can simply say without going on and on and on and trying to rethink the whole thing. I mean, I understand and appreciate her need to do that, but this is radio.
Hold on, John. We're going to hit the break, but let's let you finish that when we come right back, and then we'll take final calls. And we'll be back in a moment with final calls with John Hogue as we talk about Nostradamus and John's prophecies as well. So get ready, and then we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us for some incredible stories. And then in our last hour, conversations with Cheryl, sort of like open lines. We'll open them up, and we'll be chatting with her. So make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, John Hogue with us. And John, before we go to final calls, I'll let you finish up your statement with regards to your impartiality.
Yeah, I think it's fair to, I think your name was Margaret, is from New York, is to say that to answer a question, a good question, how could these, why did this red trickle rather than a blue wave happen if there's been all these fraudulent votes? Well, my source is the president-elect, Joe Biden, who, in a tape that was leaked to the press before civil rights leaders, he very angrily castigated them for blowing out this defund the police just before the election, which scared a lot of voters in the red states to actually crush the blue wave they were expecting in the House of Representatives, which ended up being kind of a red stopgap. And it also led to significant gains of state legislatures to the Republicans because it was the wrong message at the time to say, and he was very angry about it. He pretty much said it's made the situation that even if they win the two seats in Georgia, and he said it, he said, there's enough moderate Democrats that are going to make it very hard for me now to do what I want to do.
Good point. Let's go to the calls. Carl in Boston, first-time caller. Hey, Carl, welcome.
Hey, George. Hey, John. Happy New Year.
You too.
Glad to be on. First-time caller, yeah. I was just wondering, really, thinking about all this Nostradamus and all you're thinking about, what happened to the notation of the sixth son coming into power, and is that going to bring catastrophe because it's supposed to bring peace? What do you think of that?
It sounds like a botched translation. So it's not what Nostradamus ever said. There's so much of that out there. That's why it's so important that when you rely on anybody out there on the internet who's just mostly just taking bad translations of English
and interpreting
and elaborating them, it's important to have somebody like me who knows what Nostradamus is actually saying.
Is this like fake news, John?
Yeah, it is. In fact, it shadowed Nostradamus for 4.6 centuries. There were even fraudulent things done in his day that even got him arrested where they thought he was a Calvinist, a Huguenot, during the, even though he was a Catholic.
Right, right.
His name has been used by shysters and fraudulent people for since he was writing.
He was born in 1503, wasn't he?
Correct, in Provence. He was born of a recently Christianized Jewish family who didn't want to leave Provence because Provence had turned the royalty to the French king rather than the provincial king, and he was an anti-Semite and said, you either convert or leave. And, of course, anybody who's lived in Provence or seen it, it's a hard place to live. It's very beautiful.
Okay, next up, Gino's in St. Louis, our neck of the woods. Hey, Gino, welcome to the program.
Hello, and Happy New Year to both of you.
You too, Gino.
And as you know, I'm still a Coast Insider, and I looked up Mr. Hoag's last time he was on the air in the archive and listened to it this afternoon because I knew he would be on tonight.
Perfect.
Great.
I have a four-point question, and I'd like a few words on each thing. First of all, my prediction is that China is going to steal Taiwan this year.
That's probably not a bad projection. I felt that all along myself, Gino.
It's a key incident that could happen in 2021. I've been writing about it for the last 6 months. I have a new article called Taiwan on a War, which my subscribers get at Hoag Prophecy, just talking about that. There's a lot of pressure, whichever president is there. I mean, I got to say this for the record. Either man being president of the United States, to me, is just a different kind of political economic disaster and possibly military. When I look at the people that are being picked for President-elect Biden's foreign policy, I'm looking at a war coming. The last time that Biden was in power with Obama, there were at least three wars of nation-destroying that had happened, and I think you're going to see it resume in Syria.
Good point.
What makes it very dangerous is that Syria is one of the flashpoints in Nostradamus for a Guns of August collision with China and Russia into a nuclear crisis.
Very astute of you, John. What else do you have there, Gino?
Well, number two is the stock market. I honestly think it's going to go down. I think that they're throwing dollars around like they're Monopoly money, and I think the market is just trying to keep up with the dollar going down. And I hope there's only five or six big companies, holding up the stock market, and I think it has to fall.
Well, the stock market is. I always said that 30,000 was the magic number, that they'd get up to that. And then they would have a number that makes them equivalent to the kind of numbers you see in the stock market in Venezuela and Zimbabwe. These bloated, inflated numbers indicate the fiat economy system is about to go bust. And one of the things that Uranus with Saturn are going to bring in the first half of this year coming is a complete overturn of economic systems. It's time to reboot and rethink the whole concept of the fiat economy since 1971, in the 51st year coming of its existence. And the stock market basically is a speculative casino.
Yep.
The actual value of the stock market is probably under 6,000 points. but when you have nothing basing, when you have no limited source of wealth, because it's precious, because it's limited, to base your paper money on, you don't have a value. That is why when this starts going down, you will see a very rapid evolution of new economic systems that are based on the model of Bitcoin.
Point number three, Gino.
Okay, the last point is really AI and aliens. I think they're connected. I think there should be something we're going to hear on both of those this next year. And I was wondering if John had anything to tell us about that.
Prophecy about artificial intelligence, John, and ETs.
Well, yeah, well, I think we're coming to a head. First, the ETs. I think we're coming to a head on a lot of sources. There's things that are going on with not only machinery that is perhaps extraterrestrial, but machinery that is terrestrial. There's been bought or taken by our people. And the thing that's really left field from this for me is, these technologies and all the technologies that invention of human beings has been suppressed, licensed off, bought off by economic groups that have dirty versions of pollution and all of that, the people of this earth in the next 5 years need to rise up and demand from their governments and their corporations that these contracts, these secrets of free energy and other things are released. Because I can tell you, the green new goody-goody deal is a decades-long work of people who are sincere about trying to fix the climate catastrophes that are coming, but their whole fundamental idea is flawed. We literally need to jump out of any energy we know now and create new free forms of energy that do not require as much fossil fuel to create, like getting everybody in electric cars, or wind machines that break down in 7 years using up rare earths, and this is all short-term resources. We need to literally bring the intelligence of this human race together and rethink energy. And so my Hoke Prophecy subscribers, I've dedicated to them to give them all the kinds of things that are not being reported by fossil fuel-owned areas online and media, to see these other things, these other possibilities that could give us an energy system right away that does not be the politicization of this is a very severe. So the other thing, extraterrestrial. This is the decade when I think we're going to come to an understanding, either through our own study of Venus or Mars, or one way or another, that we are not the objectively proven life alone in the universe.
Hear, hear.
And again, the other thing too is, when did you see all the intense first global interest in extraterrestrials when we started lighting off atomic bombs.
That's right.
And the thing that's so dangerous about the next 4 years, and that's why they're coming in droves, again, I say it again, I wish I didn't have to, but the next administration, the Biden administration, is going to get us into wars. And the danger is that without them wanting this to happen, it's going to get us into a Cuban Missile Crisis confrontation with the Russians and the Chinese.
And we don't need that right now, John.
We don't. And it could. So we are entering 4 years of the most dangerous years for a World War III to suddenly erupt out of the blue. I hate to give bad news like that, but if you're listening, the millions of you listening might be able to affect a change and make that not happen.
Let's go to Matt in Bellingham, Washington. Welcome to the program. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how you doing? Happy New Year. Thank you.
You too, Matt. Thank you.
I have a few points. I want to bring them all together and let your awesome minds process them if you could.
Okay.
Okay.
So if you know about the Toltec cycle and the dawn of the sixth sun, the dying of the fifth sun, how does that correlate and match up with Revelations, if it does, at this time? What's the Bible code, if you know about that, like the codes hidden within the Bible? What's the Great Reset I keep hearing about? And if it is coming, what do we do with our 401ks and 403bs in your mind? And four, what's the best way to protect my family, my children, my animals in this crazy decade that we're approaching? Thank you.
Put those together, Mr. Hoag.
Okay. The Bible code, in my view, is bunk. In my estimation of it for 20 years, being more than sometimes lucky chance. The Book of Revelations is not about our future. It is about events of the first century. I have felt more and more now that the preterists movement of prophecy is correct. It's that the Book of Revelation, because 666 is the number of Nero Caesar, and 616, the other number of the earlier editions that are not complete, is Caligula Caesar. It spells out in numerical equivalence of 666 in Hebrew letters and Greek that this undermines the entire, puts at least to question the entire issue of what the Book of Revelation is, which makes it so dangerous that it's now finally found this cult of people trying for 2,000 years to project what it says in its own writing is a situation that's supposed to happen in St. John's time. Projected into our future has created one of the most significant prophetic hypnotic suggestions that is actually making people, and I'll say as things get worse in the 2020s, a whole lot of people will think that this is the signs of the end times, but it's an end time that's being self-inflicted, I contend. So if you want your animals and if you want your family to be protected, first thing to do is drop the Book of Revelation being anything involved with the future, except as a cult projection from 2,000 years, and also the idea of, and that's basically it. And about the sixth sun, if you're talking about the fifth world, the purification of fire of the Hopis, I really don't understand what you're talking about if it's not about that. There's so much political projection from ancients to the present in interpreting prophecy. And as far as my own concern with it, I literally follow what Jesus said. You have to become a little child again and look at all the prophecies of the world without all this front-loaded Sunday school or Madrasa Islamic school or atheist schools or other theist cult schools. And look at these prophecies as if you didn't have all that front-loaded cultural, religious stuff put over your bright, innocent intelligence. That's how you must look at these prophecies.
John, take a minute as we wrap things up. Tell people how they can get a hold of you via Zoom, your website, and your books.
Yes, yeah, so you can contact me at hogueprophecy.com is the best way. As we were saying, you'll see an ad for doing the one-on-one readings on Zoom. Also, you'll see there a little green eye logo, and that allows you to open up the tip of the iceberg of free articles just for $60 a year. You can get the whole iceberg of stuff you're not hearing from sources that I cover and name, not just certain sources, that are looking at the real news behind real prophetic research.
John, thanks again for being on the program. Do keep in touch, and let's hope we have a better 2021, okay?
Well, it'll at least be more interesting.
Great. That's not what I wanted to hear. John Hogue with us. His website, hogueprophecy.com. In a moment, investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us with some great stories next.